Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to read beginning at verse 20. And look here at the Scriptures and what they have for us as we look at another aspect of faith. And I want you to notice here in these verses some things. And we're going to look at some more of these principles here that are recorded for us as we believe the Lord has given unto us. And in verse 20 it says, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, gave commandment concerning his bones." We'll stop our reading there. Now I believe, if you turn back into chapter 10 and verse 38, believe that Paul is writing here, again, being led of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, if you read any of the epistles, you'll find that he's building, typically. He's writing one thing that eventually supports another, like in our 23rd Psalm that we've been studying. He just builds on top of the other. And in Hebrews 10 and verse 38, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." I want you to notice there that he speaks about those that live by faith. And he says, "The just shall live by faith." Now, again, the just are those who have been saved. The word just and righteous are very similar to one another in the language of Scripture. To be justified, it means to have been pronounced righteous by God. And we know that that is done by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And His righteousness is imputed unto us. And so what we find here is that faith is found here in the everyday life, isn't it? I mean, we look and we read here in the Scriptures and we find, as we've studied up to this point, that faith is not just something for Sundays or Wednesday nights. It's not just something for when you're reading your Bible. Faith is to be lived. Amen. And this is what we find even here in this instance. The Bible tells us that Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and again, these are patriarchs. Oftentimes we say patriarchs, we just think Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But patriarchs simply is dealing with fathers, isn't it? And so these were patriarchs of their families. And the Bible speaks to us concerning the faith that they had. And if you'll notice here in verse 20 and 21, we find here a declaring faith. And I believe that that's what a living faith will do. It will declare according to the will of God. Now again, the just shall live by faith. And as one individual put it so wonderfully well, when one lives by something, that something is going to show in their lives, in their words, in their everything. The Scriptures tell us in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3 that we are to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Every word that comes out of God's mouth, we're to live by. And I believe that is exactly what we see with Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And in particular, here with Isaac and Jacob. Now I want you to notice, first of all, tonight, that faith declared something. I believe faith is declaring something as well. I believe that what faith declares is always going to be in agreement with what God declares. Now you'll notice here in these verses, it says, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, bless both the sons of Joseph. Now, I'll stop there. Now, you'll notice here in this passage of Scripture that the Bible speaks of blessing an individual or individuals. Now, a lot of times we have this idea that blessing has to do with simply pronouncing some good. And I want you to understand this, that that is not the way in which it is used here. I mean, think about this for a moment. Here was Isaac, and he was dying, and he's here at the end of his life, and he says, Esau, I want you to go make me some venison, and I'm going to bless you. Now, if you think about it, here ye have your sons or your children, and you're dying. Are you going to say, well, you know, I'm going to bless you, or I'm going to curse you? No, we would naturally to be desirous to, quote unquote, bless our children, wouldn't we? We would pronounce some good upon them. But that's not what happened here. I mean, this is not some arbitrary thing where Isaac said, well, this is what I sure hope happens to you. What it really was a declaration of faith and what God had said. It was more of a prophecy than it was a blessing like we might think of. Now you'll notice, and let's turn over to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. And let's read, if you would, here in verse 27 about the blessing that was spoken by Isaac, and it was to Jacob. He thought it was Esau, but it was to Jacob. And let's notice here in Genesis 27 and verse 27. It says here, and he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee. In verse 30, and it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob. So that's the blessing right there. Now again, we know, those who of us who know Scripture, we know that there was some trickery involved here. There was some deception. But the Bible teaches us and tells us, if you look back in some Scriptures, if you look over to Genesis chapter 25, Genesis chapter 25 and verse 23, the Bible reveals to us what the will of God was. And the will of God was that Jacob would be the one of whom God was going to use to bring about the promise of God, not only to Abraham, but as through the seed of the woman would come. This was going to be in accordance with the will of God. Now you notice in Genesis 25 it says in verse 23, and the Lord said unto her, that is Rebekah, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And in verse 24, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, or supplanter, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So here we have, before they're even born, God had said, this is what is going to take place. And I want you to understand that when God said that, that was His determinate counsel. That was His will. He said, Esau, the older, is going to serve the younger. And it wasn't an accident that Esau came out first and Jacob came out second. Because if God wanted Jacob to be the elder and to come out first, he'd have had him come out first. See, all of this was in accordance and in design with God's plan. So we look here and we find that God has spoken concerning this. The word blessed means to speak well of. And you know, we find that He had blessed him. He had declared by faith what Scripture said. And that's the greatest blessing there is to declare in accordance with the Word of God. We find that Isaac made this statement. Now the natural thing to do at this time was this, that the eldest, there was a thing called a birthright, and the eldest had a birthright, of which we know Esau thought very little of it, and he sold it to Jacob for a bowl of soup. And so we find that naturally Jacob, or not naturally, but he had purchased the birthright. And now we find that God brings to pass this very thing. But what we look at is this. The natural thing to do was that you would bless the eldest. And in particular, we find that the Scriptures tell us that even Isaac, he saw, or he tended to love, as the Bible says in Genesis 25, verse 28, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So there was a natural tendency, number one, the way things were done back then was, you bless the eldest. Then there was the natural affection. Isaac, he preferred, I don't want to say he didn't love Jacob, but it's clear that he preferred Esau, isn't it? So we have here two things. Number one, we have the things, the way of the world. And number two, we have a natural affection. But then we read in our text that Isaac did something that contrasted both the way of the times as well as his own personal affection. And you know how he did it? By faith. By faith. Now let's look back, if you would, in Genesis chapter 27. And let's read some of the things that are said here. And let's read, if you would, in verse 32 and 33. Now you think about this. Again, Isaac's blind. He can't see a thing. And we find that the Scriptures tell us Esau comes, and in verse 32, and Isaac his father said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed." See, what we find here is that Isaac speaks of here this blessing. And that is to say, as I understand it, that what was done, Isaac is in agreement with what the Lord had done. Now I want you to understand, we have a prophecy that the elder shall serve the younger. We have human efforts involved to bring that to pass, of which God did not need. He didn't need it. Now He allowed that to happen, didn't He? But He did not need it. Now I want you to understand, when, again, this blessing was not of Isaac. Because I want you to look here, if you would, and I want you to turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. As I understand it, and as we read, as Esau or Jacob would come unto their father Isaac, they would bless or they would pronounce this news upon them, as the Lord brought it to his mind. And the Scriptures tell us in 2 Peter 1 and verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe that the Holy Spirit knew that that was Jacob. And I believe that Isaac was filled with the Holy Spirit. And this blessing was not, as I said, this wasn't just some dad trying to put wishful hope, if you would, onto his son. Rather, this was a time when the patriarchs were the heads, if you were, of the religious worship. That's kind of like, you know, today, who's the head of it? Well, Jesus is, isn't he? And the husbands are the head of the homes, and we set the tones for the religious worship of our families, don't we? But at the time in which they were, the fathers were also the priests of the families. And God spoke to them through those men. And so the Scriptures teach us that when Isaac was there and he was going to bless, he had it in his mind and in his heart to bless Esau. Because that's what you did. He was the oldest. And I loved him. But God had other plans, didn't He? And so when Jacob came, God wasn't fooled at all. He inspired Isaac to prophesy this blessing upon Jacob. Because God knew who it was underneath those skins of animals. He wasn't fooled at all. And it was all done by faith so that when Esau does come, Isaac says, yea, and he shall be blessed. And that teaches us that Isaac understood that the blessing that he had pronounced was not intended for Esau, it was intended for Jacob, and God knew all about it. And then he prophesied concerning Esau as well. And the Bible tells us that it was concerning things to come. And what would happen concerning Esau? And how that he would be sitting underneath Jacob and the elder would serve the younger. This was well known that it was the plan, the purpose, the will of God. We look as well in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 22, or 21 rather, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. See, what we find here again is the same thing. And let's turn over, if you would, and let's observe here concerning this truth in Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48. This one here I don't think is as well known to sovereign gracers as the whole Jacob and Esau thing. But after that, Joseph had revealed himself to his brethren and Jacob had come down with his entire band into Egypt, and there they were, and Jacob was going to die. He blesses the two sons of Joseph. Now he blessed his other sons as well. But he blesses these two. And it's very interesting because he blesses the two. And I think that Jacob understood some things that were to yet come. Because again, if you think about this, there were 12 tribes, weren't there? There were to be 12 allotments of land. But the Levites weren't getting it. And the half tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim, Joseph's family split in two, were each given allotments of land. Why is it that Jacob blessed two sons of Joseph but he didn't bless the sons of anybody else. I think he understood even some things that were going to come to pass. Why didn't he just bless Manasseh or just bless Ephraim? He blessed both of them, didn't he? Let's look here and read. The Bible tells us, verse 13 of Genesis 48, and Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. Now again, imagine, here I am, I'm Joseph, and you are Jacob, and I've got my one son here, and I've got the other son here, and I'm going to put the eldest on my left side, so that'll be on your right. Because in the Scriptures, the right hand is extremely significant. It is the hand of authority, the hand of power, it is the hand of righteousness. It all speaks of this, and much more. For the Scriptures tell us in verse 14, and Israel, that is Jacob, stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly or knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. So what Israel did was he just crisscrossed his hands like so. And the Bible tells us that he wasn't doing it stupidly, ignorantly. He knew what he was doing. Verse 15, and he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, and these shall Israel bless, saying, God, make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. I want to look here at this some more. Again, declaring faith. We notice with Isaac that the way that things worked in his time, you blessed the eldest. And then he even loved him. Here we are in Jacob's day, and Joseph, who saved his life, the Scriptures tell us that, of whom the Bible says that they were even to bow down before him. We find here that Joseph brings his two sons before him. And as Jacob blesses them, knowing what he's doing, his son says, not so. The Scriptures declare unto us, and that in verse 17, it displeased Joseph. And I tell you what, faith and the things that we do by faith will often displease people, won't it? And the things that we do by faith will most assuredly displease. You sit down right now. Thank you. Good job. Will most assuredly displease even sometimes our own children and our near kinfolk. We find here that Jacob spoke. And as he said these things, his father refused even Joseph. Nobody refused Joseph. But his father did. Remember who Joseph was. He was the second most powerful man, probably at this time, in all the world. He was really the most powerful man except for in the throne, wasn't he? I mean, Pharaoh had turned everything over to him. And Pharaoh said, I'm only in charge, pretty much entitled. But Jacob says, no, son. Why? Well, the Scriptures say, because it was faith. You see, faith enabled Isaac to go contrary to the way things were normally done. Faith enabled Isaac to do contrary to his own natural affections. Here we find that faith enabled Jacob to go against the wishes of his own family. And it also enabled him to do things contrary to a very powerful individual. We find here that Jacob, when he spoke of this, he said, Manasseh is going to be great, but his younger brother is going to be even greater. I think we have here an illusion, an illustration of Israel, and then the Gentiles of whom God would save out of the world, predominantly, if you would, His church, those that would be added unto His church. Because Israel is the adulterous wife of Jehovah who shall be restored, and the church will be the virgin bride of Christ. And the Bible says in verse 19, it says, and his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people. And he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And in that, I mean, the Lord's church is what? Comprised of a multitude of nations, isn't it? Is not God saved of every nation and every tongue and added them unto His church? What I want you to observe here are these, again, four things. Faith overcame, didn't it? It overcame, as again, in Jacob's life, it overcame that which was being done, the standards of the day. Faith said, we will not bless the eldest, we will bless the younger, because that is the will of God. Revealed in Scriptures, filled with the Spirit of God. And I will tell you this, that when we are filled with the Spirit of God, or when we have any leadership regarding the Spirit of God, it will always be in accordance with God's revealed will. Always. God had already revealed that Jacob, that it would be through him that the promise would come. That the elder would serve the younger. And now we have here that it was fulfilled in practice when Esau thought very little of his birthright. But then we see that God overruled, didn't he? Boy, there was nothing Isaac could have done. I mean, in reality, Jacob could have walked up without deceit. And the Spirit of God, I believe, would have inspired his father Isaac to pronounce the blessing that was due unto him. We don't agree with the deception that was done. We don't have to go about deceiving or lying or false ways in order to get what God would have for us to have, do we? You see, Jacob, for many, many years, was a very good scoundrel, wasn't he? We find here that Isaac blessed him. It went against his own natural affections. You realize that? We read there in the Scripture how that the Bible said, Isaac loved Esau. I believe he did love it. But he didn't bless him that way, did he? Because God overruled it. And you know, God overrules our own love and affection sometimes, doesn't He? And I'm glad that He does, because the Bible tells us that we didn't love Him, did He? But He loved us. He gave Himself for us. And you know, we still war that war today, don't we? That pulling back and forth between our own sinful lust, sinful love, and then as well, the love to the Lord. Remember what the Bible said in John chapter 3 and verse 19? For men love darkness rather than light. Amen. See, we love darkness. And that old man, even after you and I were saved, he still loves it, doesn't he? But faith overcomes that old love, doesn't it? And here, what did Isaac do? He declared according to the Word of God by faith. Then you'll find as well, again, our text, again, just in review. Here's these two boys. And what did Jacob do? Well, he prophesied. I mean, this is what it was. It was really a prophecy, wasn't it? We don't do this anymore. We don't live under a patriarchal system anymore, do we? But we don't do this anymore. We don't gather around our children and grandchildren and, you know, lay blessings upon them. I don't think God would have us to do that anymore. I wouldn't know what to tell them. I guess the only thing I could tell them is you need to trust in Jesus as your Savior. And if you are saved, you need to faithfully serve Him in and through His church. What else is there to say? But under this system of old that they had, faith overcame some obstacles, didn't it? It overcame the displeasure to his son. Again, still the old system of the elder is the one who's supposed to be blessed. And you know what we don't read of in Hebrews chapter 11? We don't read of Reuben being blessed, do we? He was the oldest, wasn't he? But God favored who? Joseph and Judah, didn't he? We all know who Judah was. But he takes Joseph's sons and he pronounces these blessings, or this blessing, and it was, what was it? It was prophecy, wasn't it? Didn't Manasseh was became a great name, didn't it? But they were weakened in that they had some on this side of the Jordan, some on the other side of the Jordan. And then you've got Ephraim. You know who was of the tribe of Ephraim? Joshua, the son of Nun, was of the tribe of Ephraim. A type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know who else we have? We have Ephraim. The whole northern 10 tribes were at one point called Ephraim. They became a very great people within Israel. But I think there's some spiritual teaching here as well. What I want you to see are these things. You and I live in a world where we get constantly bombarded and told, this is the way it's to be done. And the only way, and we know that's not right, because it's not Scripture. And it is a constant, daily onslaught, isn't it? You can't even think without that onslaught of, well, I'm supposed to do this, and I'm supposed to do that. But the real question is it Bible? Is that what the Scriptures say? Do the Scriptures tell me that I have to live my life in agreement with that standard? They do not. But you and I will never, ever say no to the world except by faith. Isaac would never have prophesied if it had not been by faith the way he did. We saw he was all ready to just give it all to Esau, wasn't he? But God overruled it, didn't he? Boy, I'm glad God overrules things in our lives as well. And sometimes He lets us have what we want to teach us something. Like He did Israel of old. He said, "You want a king? I'll give you a king." Here's what He's going to do. And they said, "That's fine, we'll take it." But you know, the world says you got to do it this way. Faith says you need to trust the Lord. And we need to do things God's way. And our lives need to be ordered in agreement with what His Word says. People say, "Well, what about when it comes to this subject?" Yeah, that subject. Because every subject is in this book. There is not one aspect, not one facet, not one genre of your life or mine that the Bible does not cover. Not one. And the world has a manual and says, "Well, this is how you do this." World says, "This is how you marry." World says, "This is how you raise your kids." The world says this is the kind of living arrangement you're supposed to have. The world says this is how you're supposed to go to church. The world says this is the bank account you're supposed to have. The world says this is how that you go to church. This is how you worship. Again, all of these things, the world all has a manual or a textbook of what they think. But faith says, this is what God says and that's what I'm going to do. And our children say, "Boy, I don't like this." And we have to say, "Yeah, but I know what God says. I know what God says." And that's the way we have to do things. And that what Jacob told Joseph is, "Yeah, I know it. But I know what God says. And you know what God says. Because we have the book. And we also have the Spirit, just like these brethren did, just like Isaac had, just like Jacob had." And the Bible says that they spake as they were led of the Holy Spirit of God. And I think that our church covenant says, having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God. Look at that. We're led by the Spirit of God. Not just to join the church, but we're led by the Spirit of God. Amen. If we're not led by the Spirit of God, we're not even saved, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God. And so it's the same Spirit, and we have the same God with the same Word. So we can also, by faith, declare with our lives the same thing that Isaac and Jacob did. Now there's some, you know, line by line and precept upon precept here in Hebrews 11 that we didn't go over, but that's the principle. Those are the principles. I remember folks, we get asked, and I wasn't saved, and folks would say, "Well, brother," or they'd, not brother, I was lost, but they'd say, "Nate, why don't you do these things?" Well, because my parents wouldn't let me. But why wouldn't my parents let me? Because they were going by faith and not by these other things. That's why. And after the Lord saved me, and I said, "Well, yeah, I can see it there in the Scriptures, but like Joseph, I don't like it." But then you get a little more mature, spiritually speaking. And I'm not saying I'm mature, spiritually. But as you grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and your faith increases, and that can only happen as we grow, right? I mean, you can't grow except you grow. And we know how we grow. We study in the Scriptures. We go unto the Lord. We submit to His Word. But the more we do that, the more we grow. And then we look at those things and we say, "You know what? God was right, isn't it? If he had godly parents, you say, boy, my parents were right. And you look back with fondness upon it. But here they were. And they blessed, which again was more of a prophecy than it was simply just a blessing. It wasn't just some fatherly thing that was done. These were holy men of old speaking as they were led by the Spirit of God. You know what we do if we were to bless our kids or grandkids? We would do like we would think. Well, we would just pour out some goodness upon them. That's not what Isaac and Jacob did. They spoke as they were led by the Spirit of God. But faith enables them and enables us to go according to God's Word. Well, I'll tell you what, I've gone against God's Word and I've walked down the path and the course of this world just like I did before God saved me, and I've tried it again, and you know what? It doesn't work. It does not work. God's way is not just the best way, it's the only way. I think God knew what He was doing about everything. And boy, we struggle, don't we? I mean, you can't drive down I-75, I-4, any highway with any billboard and not be onslaughted by the world. You can't go to the store and check out. Except the world is saying, this is how you need to do it. And you know, if you think that that's what you need to do, wait till you get to the checkout line and look at the sad lives of those people on those magazines. Because that's what it is. It's sad.
Amen.
I don't know who said it, but they're right. Money doesn't buy happiness because them people ain't happy. They're not happy. They're some of the most miserable people I've ever seen. And so we need to walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. And faith will enable us to overcome all of that and to go according to His Word. And so I pray, Lord, will help us. Let's stand this evening.